scripture today comes from Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. It's a long passage, but it's good. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who are living there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for certainly we can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We even saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section, the chat. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm continuing this series, Unlikely Heroes. Here's a question. Have you ever wanted to be a hero? The truth is, the world is always in need of heroes. There's always a crisis somewhere. There are always circumstances that call for action someplace. In the midst of drought and fires in some parts of the world, heroes are needed to fight the fires, to avoid disaster and address needs. In other parts of the world, heroes are needed to prepare for flooding, manage the crisis, and then deal with the aftermath too. Sometimes heroes are needed to respond to a car wreck, an accident, a medical crisis, a pandemic. Even in the midst of everyday life, in our homes, in our families, at school, in the community, at work, the world is always in need of heroes, persons who step forward in the midst of a crisis and somehow save the day. So what does it take to be a hero? Are heroes special? Are heroes different than the rest? At times, I think we'd all like to be a hero somehow and are drawn to other hero stories too. Last week, I talked about the Marvel movie superheroes that have been so popular the last 15 years. One of the interesting things about these Marvel superheroes, Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Captain Marvel, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, She-Hulk, these superheroes have special powers, but also have challenges and struggles, and even flaws as part of their stories that they have to deal with too. That part of their story is intriguing to us because, you know, that's our story. Like those superheroes, we too have challenges, struggles, and flaws, yet we hope to overcome them. And the good news of our gospel is that Jesus Christ, our ultimate superhero, gives us power to do just that by His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! We are drawn to hero stories, and there are some great ones in the Bible. In fact, one of the main themes of the scripture is this: God used unlikely heroes to do amazing things in the past, and He wants to do it as well today. Last week, we talked about Moses, an unlikely hero. Moses, remember, was a leader in process. When God called him initially, Moses, he balked. He hesitated. He even suggested looking for someone else. And then after he said yes, Moses was still a leader in process. He was often impatient, insecure, anxious, and he had doubts. Yet God still used him to do amazing things. We can take encouragement from that. God can use us as unlikely heroes as well. This week, I want to talk about two more unlikely heroes, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were unpopular leaders, post unpopular in the chat. These two guys were leaders. They were part of a secret 12-man intelligence team chosen to go spy out the promised land. Their struggle was being unpopular. When they got back and gave their report, many people didn't like what they had to say. How do you lead as an unpopular leader? That's what I want to talk about as we look at this passage from Numbers 13. What can we learn from Joshua and Caleb's story? Well, first of all, the 10 spies brought a negative report. They were told to go spy out the land, see what it was like. And they came back and they said, the land is good. And they had fruit to show for it. But the people there are too strong. Numbers 13, 27, 28 reads, we went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. They brought a negative report. The land is good, but the people are too strong. Next, notice Joshua and Caleb brought a positive report, post positive in the chat. Numbers 13:30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. 10 spies provided a negative report. Joshua and Caleb, a positive report. Here's a question. What kind of report do you usually bring? When you survey the landscape of your life, home, work, relationships, family, yourself, your circumstances, what kind of report do you bring? Positive or negative? Upbeat or downcast? Optimistic or pessimistic? Hopeful or discouraging? Remember this, the way that we think, talk, or report on our circumstances makes a huge difference. The story is told of a pastor who had been asked to leave his church during the last Sunday service that he was to spend at that church, his hat was passed around for a goodwill offering. When the hat was returned to the pastor, it was empty. The pastor didn't flinch. He raised his hat to heaven and he said, "I thank you, Lord, that I got my hat back from this church." Our attitude towards others and our circumstances makes a big difference. 10 spies had a negative report. Joshua and Caleb's report was positive. Notice next, the 10 spies focused on fear and the apparent facts. Often the reports we bring in life are based on fear. Numbers 13:31. "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We can't attack. They're stronger, bigger. We're like grasshoppers compared to them." Have you ever felt that way? "We can't attack this problem. It's too big. We can't overcome this circumstance. It's too overwhelming. We can't get through this difficulty. It's too hard." If we focus on our fear and just the facts, it can be paralyzing. That's what the 10 spies were doing. Joshua and Caleb had a different recommendation. Why? They walked through the same land. They saw the same circumstances, yet they had a different report. Why was that? Well, in the midst of their everyday life, Joshua and Caleb had learned to focus on God and His power. In the book of Exodus, remember, Joshua was the one who had fought against the Amalekites when Moses was on the mountain with Aaron and Hur lifting his arms. As long as Moses kept his arms up, Joshua and the Israelites were winning, and they prevailed. Then remember, Joshua was the one who had been with Moses on Mount Sinai when he received the Ten Commandments as his personal assistant. Again, Joshua saw the power of God. Last week, we talked about Moses' tent of meeting in the desert where he would go and talk with God. Remember, Joshua was the one who stayed continually in that tent of meeting as well. Joshua had seen firsthand God's presence and power, and apparently so had Caleb. And because they'd seen God's power, it greatly impacted their report. Here's a question. Have you seen that power? Have you experienced God's presence and power in your life? I think about all the times God has come through in my life, in my circumstances, with forgiveness, wisdom, encouragement, peace, finances, healing, people. When you have those stories, when you've experienced God's grace and power, it builds your faith. You begin to declare to others what God can do. Joshua and Caleb were declaring their faith. In Numbers 14:7-8, they said, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us." Joshua and Caleb understood the key in this whole thing was their relationship with God. If God be for us, who can be against us? They had cultivated a relationship with God. They knew God could be trusted. Guess what? That's key in our lives as well. When we know God, when we know He can be trusted, we'll be bold in our faith as well. And how do we get to know God? We get to know God through faith in His Son, Jesus. That's why Jesus came, so that we can know God personally, and that by the power of the promised Holy Spirit, we can experience His presence and power in spirit and in truth. Notice another thing. The 10 spies report caused despair. Post despair in the chat. Their report focused on fear and caused weeping, grumbling, and despair. Numbers 14:1, that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert." That's what focusing on a negative report does. It causes weeping, grumbling, and despair. There's too much of it going on in our world today. Too many negative reports about schools or the economy, about justice, about the institutions of our government. There's no place, it seems, for faith, no place for truth-telling either. We need faith and honest truth-telling in our homes, our families, at work, at school, in all the halls of government. Joshua and Caleb's report called for faith. They said, "Yes, we hear the negative reports, but it's not the only choice we have." Numbers 14:7 and 9. "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord." There is a lot of rebelling against God going on in the world today. Many people do not like God's word, His commands. Anything that has to do with God, we don't like it. We dismiss it often because we like control of our own life. Thank you. Numbers 14:9. "And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Again, a call to faith, not fear. Wow. The people of Israel were on the very edge of the promised land. They had come right up to it. They could go in or not. Are we in or out? They heard two reports, one positive, one negative. One focused on fear, the other focused on faith. One popular, the other a minority report. What to do? How to respond? Think about times when you have been on the edge of faith, when you've had to choose between faith or fear. I remember the doctor telling Kathy and I that our newborn daughter, Jenny, had dislocated hips and would need to wear a harness for several weeks to address it. Faith or fear? I remember the report to our family that my dad had cancer and not many days to live. Faith or fear? I remember the district superintendent saying, "We want you to plant a brand new church in South Oklahoma City. Faith or fear?" And then 13 years later, "We want you to go to Christ Church in Tulsa to follow Dr. Bob Pearson. Faith or fear?" And now, 16 years later, yes, we have some big issues to work through as a church and as a country. Faith or fear? In my experience, during crisis moments, there is great power that comes from God when we respond with faith rather than fear. But it doesn't happen automatically. What happened in Moses' day with the people of Israel? Well, the people chose fear rather than faith. Rather than listening to Joshua and Caleb and rising up in faith, they dismissed their words, even got angry with them. Numbers 14:10 says, "The whole assembly talked about stoning them." Wow. What do you do as an unpopular leader? What do you do when the majority of people don't want to follow your leading? I suggest three things from Joshua and Caleb's lives. First of all, walk by faith. Keep your relationship with God solid. That's key no matter what happens. Secondly, point people to God. Give them a positive, faith-filled report based on truth, not lies or fear. Third, trust God with the results. God is in control. Joshua and Caleb did what they felt compelled to do, and they trusted God with the results. For the children of Israel, this decision of fear rather than faith brought devastating results. It meant 40 years for them of wandering in the wilderness, 40 years of missed opportunities. In the end, of that generation, only Joshua and Caleb actually entered the promised land. The rest of those people lived lives of aimless wandering in the desert. Remember this, we may not have all the answers to our questions, and we may not have all the details that we'd like. But when the call of God is to have faith or fear, I suggest go with faith every time. Let's pray about that. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we can learn a lot from Joshua and Caleb's story. When we survey our own lives, what kind of reports do we bring? In their case, 12 spies walked through the same land, but their responses were vastly different. 10 of them focused on fear and despair. 2 focused on faith and hope. Lord, teach us to focus on faith and hope and on your presence and power. Lord, help us to grow in our relationship with you. That is so key. Give us eyes of faith that we too can be unlikely heroes, persons who stand up in our day to bring faith-filled perspective to all the challenges we face. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to pray for you. And again, thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to care for and to reach new people for Jesus. You can go online and use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Joshua and Caleb responded with faith rather than fear. They were unpopular leaders in their day, but they turned out to be right. In what way do you need to respond with faith rather than fear? Jesus is the one who can help you to do it.
You know, Lisa, I keep telling my dad he needs to get new hearing aids.
Oh, yeah?
He just won't listen.
First Wednesday is back. September 7th at 5:30 p.m., we'll celebrate and support the Little Lighthouse. The Little Lighthouse provides tuition-free Christian education and therapeutic services for children with special needs and their families. Join us at 5:30 p.m. for a meal, then special music with Micah Obel, and our own Diana Lee and Laura Gebhardt from the Little Lighthouse. First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
Our women's brunch will be held August 27th at 10 a.m. Our special guest, Vienna Schuring, will be sharing about the doors that God has opened for her and the Wings of Freedom program. Sign up at the Connect Center and see what you can bring to support this powerful ministry.
The Christchurch Explorers are headed to Branson November 1st through 3rd. The sign-up deadline is this Thursday, so please see Marsha Owen to reserve your spot. There's more information in the newsletter and at the Connection Center.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.